Brooklyn's Radio Surrey News Review for Friday the 6th of November. I'm Graham Laycock, taking a look at this week's local news stories in Surrey from the Surrey Advertiser and Surrey Live. First, this week's headlines. Surrey goes into lockdown as coronavirus cases increase, and Surrey launches its test and trace service. Surrey business fighting for survival, and Tilford East Bridge reopens. Seven more people have died at NHS Trust serving Surrey, the latest daily figures show. The latest official data has two more deaths in Frimley Heath, two more at Epsom and St Helier, two at Ashford and St Peter's, and one at the Royal Surrey NHS Foundation Trust. It came as 221 new cases were recorded in the county, with the biggest increase in Guildford, where 35 new cases were reported. Now, a breakdown on deaths per trust operating in Surrey. Frimley Heath, 398, up by 2. Epsom St Helier NHS Trust, 300, an increase of 2. Surrey and Sussex Healthcare NHS Trust, 263, no change. Ashford and St Peter's, 198, an increase of 2. The Royal Surrey at Guildford, 104, an increase of 1. The remainder had no change. Woking Community Hospital, 1. Nuffield Health, Woking, 1. Mount Alverna, Guildford, 2. Walton Community Hospital, 4. And St Magnus Haslemere, 2. And according to the latest government figures, Mole Valley has the highest infection rate in Surrey, with 148 new cases recorded in the 7 days leading to the 29th of October, the equivalent of 169.6 cases per 100,000 people. A breakdown of infection rates in each borough and district in Surrey for the most recent 7 day period, for which data is available between October the 23rd and 29th, is as follows, with figures provided by Public Health England. And this infection rate represents the number of COVID-19 infections per 100,000 people in any given area across the country. So the infection rates are going from the highest to the lowest. Mole Valley, 169.6. Epsom and Ewell, 148.8. Runnymede, 144.3. Woking, 143.9. Spelthorne, 136.2. Waverley, 128.2. Guildford, 113.4. Elmbridge, 113.3. Tandridge, 99.9. Reigate and Banstead, 96.8, and Surrey Heath, 92.9. And the latest government data released every week shows the R number in the southeast of England is now 1.2 to 1.4 as of Friday the 30th of October. It's a very slight decrease from the previous week, when the data showed the R number in the region between 1.2 and 1.5. And Surrey County Council is to launch its own local contact tracing service to fill the gaps where the national service is failing. Coronavirus-infected residents not found by the National Test and Trace Service will be sought by council staff working with Public Health England. The telephone-based contact tracing service is expected to be up and running by the end of this month. If, after 24 hours, the national service has failed to get a response from someone who has tested positive, their details will be passed on to the Surrey team, who will use their local knowledge to try and reach them. As Surrey Public Health Director Ruth Hutchinson said, "We will put out all the stops to assure we have a conversation with them and find out their contacts. A close contact is someone who has spent more than 15 minutes within 2 metres of a positive COVID case." The Local Government Association, a national body representing local authorities, has consistently made the case for councils to have the powers and resources to lead contact tracing, and about 100 councils around the country have already launched their own complementary schemes. As in other areas of the South East, we're working hard to get this in place, said Ms Hutchinson. The latest NHS track and trace statistics for October the 22nd to 28th showed it reached just shy of 60% of cases in England. This means a total of 131,136 known people were not told to self-isolate in that week. In contrast, the LGA chairman Ian Hudspeth said local protection teams had reached nearly 95% of complex cases assigned to them. However, Ms Hutchinson said more Surrey residents with a positive COVID test result engaged with the national service than elsewhere. The county's figure was usually over 80%. There will be 16 local contract tracers in Surrey, mainly consisting of council staff who have been given robust online training development by Public Health England. Four of these have been recruited specially. They have also identified other employees that can use if case numbers significantly increase. Fines for not self-isolating, if contacted by NHS Test and Trace, start at £1,000 and increase up to £10,000 for repeated offenders. There is a legal requirement to self-isolate for 10 days if you test positive, or 14 days if someone in your household has tested positive or you are contacted by NHS Test and Trace and informed to self-isolate. If you're asked to self-isolate by NHS Test and Trace and you're on a low income, unable to work from home and will lose income as a result, you may be entitled to a payment of £500 from your local authority. And high streets in two of Surrey's largest towns were buzzing with shoppers on the last day before the second national lockdown. In Guildford and Woking on Wednesday, streets were packed full of people. From Thursday, supermarkets, garden centres, off licences and newsagents considered essential allowed to stay open, but other retailers, including clothing shops, footwear shops, tailors, electronics stores, will not be permitted to open as they have been deemed non-essential. Vehicle showrooms, travel agents, betting shops, tobacco and vape stores will also be closed. While non-essential retailers are closed for in-store customers, they are permitted to remain open for click-and-collect services and for deliveries. Surrey's businesses are fighting for survival as they navigate these latest restrictions, with one cafe owner saying he's still struggling from the effects of the first lockdown. As tighter rules came into force on Thursday, non-essential businesses have been forced to shut their doors again. Surrey Live visited Guildford and Epsom town centres on Thursday to speak to local businesses on day one of the new restrictions. Kamal Mohamed, who has owned the franchise Muffin Break in Epsom's Ashley Centre for the last 5 years, the business has been there for seven, said he hasn't got over the impact of the lockdown in the spring. He said the COVID business grant from government is barely touching the size of the cafe's losses. He said it's very stressful. I feel the government are looking after the employees and the self-employed, but not the business owners. To make up the losses since March, Kamal said he'd had to take out a loan. He's now grappling to pay that in the new lockdown, alongside his service charges and rent, as footfall in the Ashley Centre drops once again. And in Guildford, Gale's Bakery celebrated opening its doors for the very first time on October the 29th, just 3 days of business, and then the PM announces the lockdown. But Patricia Valisco, bakery manager, admits they are more fortunate than many. At the moment, we're keeping all our bakeries open, opening the same time, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m, and we're going to see how it works at the weekend, she said. The idea of the company is to keep bakeries open, keeping people working, and not sending anyone on furlough. And at the moment, obviously, it is quieter. We opened last Thursday. It was extremely busy for the whole weekend. We knew about the lockdown 3 days after opening. Now, 1 week after, we want to keep the business going as usual. And a small selection of other businesses in Surrey's town centres remained open to serve the community for takeaway only, while others will adapt their offer to survive the month-long lockdown. Vodafone in Epsom and Waterstones in Reigate were offering click-and-collect services, and essential services remained open in Guildford on Thursday, including Sainsbury's, Superdrug, M&S and the Post Office. The Friary Centre also remained open, but the majority of shops inside were closed and the food court was open, serving customers for takeaway only. And in a welcome U-turn, it was announced that pubs, bars and restaurants will be permitted to sell takeaway alcohol during lockdown if it is pre-ordered. Russell Scooby, landlord at the Royal Oak in Trinity Churchyard, Guildford, will be adapting his business as he continues to serve customers. And he said, thankfully, the government has allowed independent businesses to supply beer. We're very much going to follow the spirit of the lockdown. It'll be click and collect. Our off-licence will still be available, but if you're looking for draft, it will be done via our website. Times are different, but we're staying as positive as we can, and hopefully we'll be open again at the start of December. And Joby Sanika, the owner of Joby Thai Street Food, a grab-and-go eatery in Epsom Square, said on Thursday he had not noticed much difference in terms of footfall, but admitted it had been tough ever since the first lockdown. He said, in the first lockdown, we closed almost 2 months because we didn't know what was going to happen, but now we'd learned and are open. The stall has only been in Epsom Square since September 2019, and Juby set up his business after working as a chef in London. He said, "I've been trying to hire, but because of the lockdown, I've decided not to. It may be just slower with just me serving, but at least it's safer." A medieval bridge has been closed for more than a year and caused considerable disruption to village businesses and residents is finally reopening, but on the same day as England entered its second national lockdown. In September 2019, Tilford East Bridge was closed for essential works, which effectively split the tiny village of Tilford in two and blocked off one of its key entry roads. Investigations after an accident in January 2017 where a silver Honda CRV careered off the road revealed the bridge needed extensive repairs. Works have been on and off since, with the current projected is starting on the 17th of June 2019. The bridge was closed for traffic back last September the 23rd, but now is reopened. A man was pulled to the ground and kicked in front of his wife in an unprovoked attack while they were walking through Epsom. Surrey Police wants to speak to anyone who may have information regarding the incident in the early hours of Saturday, the 31st of October. At about 12:40 a.m, the victim and his wife were walking in Reigate Road when they were approached by two males. He was left with a blackened and swollen eyes, cuts and pain in his wrist. A police spokesman said the victim was walking towards Yule Downs Road with his wife when he was assaulted in an unprovoked attack. The two suspects pulled him to the floor and began kicking him before fleeing the area. Now, the two suspects are described as, first one is white, male, a 5'10" tall, slim build, gingery blonde hair, wearing a dark jumper, and the second male was white, 5'8" tall, slim build, brown hair, wearing a black and grey long sleeve top and faded blue jeans. Now, if you have any information that could help the inquiry, do get in touch with Surrey Police via surrey.police.uk or the non-emergency number 101. If you don't wish to leave your name, you can call the independent charity Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111. And Surrey Police has revealed the cause of a loud bang that was heard by residents across Dorking. Officers were called to the discovery of a suspected unexploded shells near Whitedown Lane shortly before 10:30 a.m. on Monday the 2nd of November. A large cordon was quickly placed around the wooded area and locals spotted multiple police officers at the scene of the investigation. Several hours later, a number of residents reported a loud bang in the area and witnesses spotted a bomb disposal team along with emergency services. According to police, the Explosive Ordnance Disposal Team carried out a controlled explosion of the suspected shells at 3:30 p.m. And that completes our look at the stories in Surrey this week. This has been Brooklyn's Radio Surrey News Review with Graham Laycock. And you can hear the Surrey News Review every Friday at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. on Brooklyn's Radio. And you can keep up to date with the Surrey Advertiser and at Surrey Live. Brooklyn's Radio.